All right, Lord, we thank you so much for another fine night tonight. Thank you so much for all these wonderful people, all these wonderful brothers and sisters, Lord. Lord, I pray for your anointing upon everybody here. And I thank you, Lord, for the revelations you're going to show us tonight. And Lord, I ask and I pray that you place it on everybody's heart to say the things that you want them to say. And we praise you for it, Lord, to be short and concise. No, I'm just kidding. Thank you, Lord, for all you're going to do tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you, Father. Okay. Anybody got a prayer request? Oh, everybody's praying. Okay. Go ahead, Debbie.
I have kind of a praise. I shared about our son yesterday, last night, who passed out, and on his face, and broke his nose, broke his glasses, bit into his bottom lip, and bruised his cheekbone really bad. So this morning, I asked him how he's doing. He goes, well, we prayed for him last night. We prayed, and I realized I don't think I prayed for those healings, you know, for anything of that. I think I prayed that God would just use all that to draw him to himself, because this isn't the first time, because it's this medication, blood pressure medication problems. He's always got to have adjusted. And, but I didn't pray for God to touch him and bring these healings. I prayed that God would touch his heart and show him God is real, as he would heal him of the problems with his blood pressure and the things that are the root cause of that and everything. But that's what I prayed for. And so this morning he says that, I feel 90% better. I went to work. So my swelling is down. So I have a little bit of swelling and bruising on my cheekbone. So I take that as a sign that even though I didn't pray for that part specifically, that God is working and going to really do a miracle in his body and bring that healing. He's going to know it's God. I always wanted to share that. We didn't expect him to go to work today.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
All right. Anyone else?
Hey.
Yeah, Larry.
Mike.
Yeah, hang on, Jeff.
Someone else.
Yeah, hang on. I'll get you in a minute. Go ahead, Larry. There you go.
Okay. I just got word from my sis that one of our cousins is going in for heart surgery or a stent tomorrow. And he's a believer, but they're not in this realm. And I really haven't had a chance to, well, I probably have had a chance, but I haven't ever really talked to him. They're so against, the Nazarene Church is so against tongues that it's really hard to talk with some of them. Because I was part of that for a while myself, so I understand it. But he's going in for either surgery or a stent. And I just wanted to pray for him, and I'm going to call him later, maybe, and tell him that we prayed for him, and okay. Ask God to be merciful to him and get him through it good.
Okay. You want to pray?
Sure, I will.
Okay, I will.
Father, thank you.
Go ahead.
Father, go ahead. You want me to?
Yeah, you go ahead, and we'll pray after you. How's that?
Well, that's fine. Whatever. Sure. Absolutely. Thank you, Father, for hearing us, knowing us, loving us. Thank you for this time that we can believe together, Lord. And I know that you're going to do something good for Mark. Lord, I just pray that, Lord, you will do a miracle that he doesn't even know about. Lord, that you'll touch him so where he does, the doctors will find he doesn't need a stent or surgery. In Jesus' name, Lord, I pray that you go to him tonight. And just do that healing touch upon him. Mm-hmm. Lord, may it be a testimony. Lord, an awesome testimony to him and to his family. And I thank you for hearing our prayer. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Lord, we lift him up to you. And we thank you, Lord, that you, while he's out, that you're going to talk to him about the Holy Spirit, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Lord, we thank you for it. We thank you, Lord, that you're going to open up his eyes, his spiritual eyes, to see where they've Amen. Been in error all these many years. And Lord, we thank yes. you for it. And in the name of Jesus, right now, we command that heart
yes.
right
yes.
now to be healed in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father, that Mark's heart is completely healed right now in Jesus' name.
Amen.
And Lord, he'll know it's you because the doctors yes. gave him the wrong prognosis. Because you, Lord, are in charge, and we thank you for it, Lord. And at this time, when he comes out of that, and the yes, doctors yes. see that has
no
surgery needed, that he's going to give the glory to God. And Larry's going to tell him what happened. And Father, Amen. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you.
All right. Amen. Praise God.
Amen. Awesome. Awesome. Thank you. Thank you.
Father, I pray that you bring the out-of-town expert to speak truth, a man that he will respect as hearing the word from you.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Okay, Jeff, you have something?
Yeah, those papers I called my... from work that I received yesterday, I called the HR woman today and asked her what they were all about. And she said, just hang on to them. They don't mean anything. She said, they're just for if we perhaps need you, it's just official documents while you're on the road. That's all. She said, don't be alarmed. She said, we're fully staffed. We won't probably even call you. So just relax and enjoy your time. And I was like, thank you.
Okay.
Fine. You know, it made me feel it felt at ease. Yeah, absolutely. I'm just like, thank you, Lord. So,
amen.
He answers our prayers.
All right. Praise God. All right. Anyone else? Yeah, Matt.
I got something to pray about.
Okay.
My dad fell this morning. He doesn't remember anything about it.
You're breaking up just a little bit. I heard your dad had something this morning. And you're gone. You're froze up. Lord, bring him back in Jesus' name.
He didn't care, but they really wanted him to go to the ER because he can't really stand. And so they put two staples in his head to hold the wound.
Matt,
Lord,
you're breaking up.
We got
a little bit of that. So you have to hurry up and go through it.
Basically, my dad fell and had a gash in the back of his head. Went to the urgent care. They put two staples in. So,
okay.
Lord, I just pray that that you would touch my dad, Lord, that you would bring him to you through all this, Lord, that he can see that you are the ultimate controller through all these. We just thank you, Lord, for working in his life. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Barbara, go down at the lower left corner where the microphone icon is. Well, she's already done that. Where that up air is, right there by the microphone, make sure that your selective speaker there has what you want done, as the same as system. or if you've got internal speakers, built-in output internal speakers, check one or the other of those, and you should be able to go on. And then when you get through, go down, let's see, down at the bottom, and second to the bottom says test speaker and microphone, and make sure that works. Okay? Okay. All right.
And if none of that works, she'll have to log off and come back on. Because when her name was down before, it was, you could see it was trying to log on. But it looks like it's fixed now because her name's in the center of the box.
She's got it.
Before it was low, and you could tell that the microphone was trying to work itself.
Yeah, she's got it now. Go ahead, Judy.
Well, I've got a friend that his son-in-law has the virus, and he's got to be quarantined. I don't know how bad he is or anything, but he has. We were talking, then he called me back afterwards and said, well, if you want to pray for somebody, pray for my son-in-law. And I said, okay, we will. So, Lord, I just ask that you, I bring up Phil to you, and that you heal this virus from him. I don't know how bad it is, but just make him completely well, right quick. And then his family will know, wow, something really happened. And my friend will know something will happen because they need to see you. They need to see you in work, in your work. And Lord, we thank you that this is not going to affect anyone else in the family. And we thank you, Lord, for your healing powers. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Is he a Christian? Judy, is he a Christian?
No.
Okay, let's pray something else for him, okay? The Lord, in the name of Jesus right now, we thank you that the Lord of Harvest sends somebody there for him to listen to, that he'll listen to and will get, receive the truth of the gospel. And then, Lord, I ask and I pray that you grant repentance to him. And I, right now, I break the power of Satan over that boy right now in Jesus' name, and I claim his salvation for the glory of God in Jesus' name. And we praise you, Father, that when he does that, he'll be healed. And then he'll be able to glorify you throughout his whole family in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord.
Yes, thank you, Lord.
Thank you.
Amen.
I'll just share about Tracy. Michael, maybe Tracy did talk to you this afternoon, did she?
She did.
She was much better today. Just thank you, Lord, for answering our prayers for Tracy. She was able to be up and out and about today and felt much, much better.
Yes, she did. She sounded good.
Yes, she did. And I just thank you, Lord, for that. And I just pray that you will help her with her job when she goes back on Friday, because she's going to be in a different place than what she's used to. And they have a lot of things that she's not used to doing. And it's a much busier place. And so she's concerned that she won't get everything just right and she'll do something wrong. But Lord, I know that you will help her to do things the right way.
Amen.
And I just pray that you give her peace and just a confidence in you. We thank you, Father, for what you're going to do and work in and through Tracy. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you,
in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Yes. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Thank you, Father.
So did you tell her where to find what it was she was wanting?
I didn't know. I had to go ask David, and he actually sent the link to her in her email.
Oh, okay. Because I didn't know. Okay. Yeah. Thank you.
Well, it was the thing that he had the other day, Sunday. It was off of that broadcast and off the.
Okay. I was thinking that I had forwarded that to her, but maybe I didn't. I thought I did, but maybe not.
Okay.
Okay.
She got it. She got it.
Okay. Very good. Thank you. Yeah.
Barbara, can you hear? Barbara. Maybe you can call her, Missy, and see what's going on with her, because she's having trouble getting on. All right. Anybody else? Yeah, go ahead, Joe. I'll get right back to you, Leon.
I want to go ahead and lift up Albert and Lisa in prayer. So I was talking to Albert the other day, and so, well, they got like two trials situations that have been going on lately. One that's been going on for a while with their son. And then I believe the last 2 weeks, 3 weeks maybe, they've had they've got two Maltese, you know, the white one, I believe, is the older one. Bianca is her name. She's been having seizures, I think the last 2.5 weeks or so. And they went to the doctor, you know, to get some medication for it. And so I guess the last couple of days it's still been happening. So I went ahead and gave Albert the other day the Weakness, the Way to God's Power series, in the 80s and 90s section of the teachings. And I was like, well, sure sounds like, you know, in this case at least, you know, especially with their son, there's no communication between their son. I'm not sure what the details are, but they're just not really talking. And so I thought, well, it sounds like God's trying to, cause them to be weak, you know, just get in that state of weakness so that they could just stop their own efforts, you know, and see God work. So I want to pray about that. I just want to lift them up and cause God, ask God to give them grace to do that. So Father, I just thank you for Albert and Lisa. Thank you for their, you know, just their encouragement in my life and the lives of many others, you know, even probably the lives, you know, some here that they know closer. So we thank you for them. Thank you for the work they're doing in their life. And I just, I've prayed, you know, for them, and I believe others have, for their dog, Bianca. But thank you, Lord, you're going to heal her. But Lord, we ask most of all in this situation, you know, it just seems like when you only know so much, you know, when you don't see the bigger picture, it's easier to fret. It's easier to worry, like, oh, what are you doing, God? What are you doing? But Lord, the biggest thing you just want us to do in this case is just to rest. And you cause us to get weak so that we give up our own efforts and that we can finally see you work. So Lord, I pray that they would, most of all, you give them the grace. I come against any spirits of fear that would cause them, or any apprehension to become vulnerable, to become weak where they need to be. You know, that's the exact spot, exact location they need to be, is in a state of weakness and just totally vulnerable before you, exhausted of any, you know, power of their own. So I ask, Lord, that they would just rest, Lord. Bring them into the rest. Help them to realize, you know, it's out of our hands. We are believing for the healing of Bianca and the restoration and the reconciliation of their son, Tyler. So, Lord, we just ask that, you know, concerning Tyler, that they would look at him through the eyes of faith. You know, they wouldn't look at his life now. They wouldn't look at their relationship now, but they would stop and say, you know, we believe for him. We're going to endure this trial, and we're just going to rest. So, Lord, I pray that that would be their hearts. Give them that heart. Give them that grace so that they could just stop and say, okay, we're done fighting. You know, we're done trying. We're done doing anything. We're just going to rest, and, God, we're going to believe that you're going to do something. So thank you for that, Lord. Thank you for giving them the grace to do so. And, you know, thank you for causing them to just give up, most of all, to give up and to be weak. And there you will meet them and you will show yourself strong. So thank you for this, Lord. Thank you for them. And encourage them in this time, most of all. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Go ahead, Leah.
I was going to give a testimony. I had a very sharp pain in my side yesterday, and so I typed in internal organs of the human body to find out what was where, and it was about my waist. I don't have much of a waist now, but I know where it is anyway. But it was my kidneys were right there, so I thought, yeah, that could be so. I asked for prayer yesterday, and by the time we got off of the computer, I was not feeling anything, and I haven't had any pain today at all. So, praise God. He is a healer.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Okay. Anyone else? Yeah, Barry.
Yeah, I'd like to pray for Boris Johnson, the Prime Minister of England. Father, pray you bless Boris Johnson. As we know, he has coronavirus and is in intensive care. And Father, pray you lift him up, heal him, bless him, draw him close to yourself. You know, Father, he's done good things and right things for England, getting him out of the European Union. And Father, pray you lift him up, bless his wife and or his girlfriend and their children. Father, pray you draw them all close to yourself. And Father, pray that the you'd have a testimony of your healing power in his life to get him over this disease. And Father, we thank you for doing this in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Lord, we send your warrior angels out there to protect him, to keep them from trying to assassinate him. I for some reason, I just believe that's what they're trying to do. And Lord, I thank you for your protection all around him, his family, and his friends, Lord, in Jesus' name. Thank you for his healing, Lord. Thank you, Father. Amen. Okay, anyone else? Yeah, Missy.
My daughter-in-law, Brooke's mother, her mother's name is Teresa. She had a test for coronavirus, and she didn't have it. So thank the Lord, praise you, Jesus. Said it.
Amen. Shut up, Fuzz. Shut up, Fuzz. You better hush. You better get back upstairs where you belong. All right, anyone else? Go ahead, George.
I'll lift up a couple of people. My chef at work, his dad fell off a ladder and broke him up pretty bad. A few vertebrae and shoulder blades, ribs, you name it. Prayed for him yesterday, and he's doing a little better today, but Father, in the name of Jesus, I lift this man up to you. I command healing to his body that will just baffle everybody around him, the doctors, the family. He's going to come out of this so strong, Lord, that you will surely get the glory. So I speak healing to his aorta, to his vertebrae, everything that the long, long list that they've given, their report. Father, I speak your report over this man in Jesus' name. And once again, Lord, I thank you that I'm aware of the need and I'm taking the ground in Jesus' name. And Father, I lift up the family of our corporate chef, Jerry Reveron, who passed away today. And I lift up his family and Father, if it could possibly be a believer there to lay hands on him and he could bring him back. Father, I speak life to his body, and Jerry, I tell you to come back in Jesus' name. Be a blessing to your family, and Lord, get glory. And Father, I thank you for these possibilities in the kingdom in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. We hook our faith up for George and command it to be so. In Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Anyone else? I wish, anyway. All right. Anybody else? Yeah. Go ahead, Phil.
I have a cousin in California. Him and his wife, they have a couple businesses out there. They're doing really well. And they're finding a hard they're not finding any reason to leave California yet, you know. And they know it's on the horizon, I think, just because the way things are going and the way the public is starting to put pressure on their church and start investigating and all this and that. But his wife, Ala, she has some health problems. I don't know the extent of them, but I spoke with him for about an hour and a half yesterday. His name's Roman, and he knows the full gospel, but like so many other Slavics, it's not really preached on, you know. He knows there's more. He knows there's power that is untapped that we're not claiming, and he's kind of on the fence there. And I thank God that I can talk to him and bring all these scriptures up to him that we've been learning about here. So I just want to lift that family up, Lord. You see my brother Roman and his wife Ala over there in California, and I just want to lift them up and pray that you open their eyes so they can see and their ears so they can hear your voice, Lord, and show them your true power that can be manifested through them, Lord. Give them that faith to believe that when they read Christ in us, that they can manifest those gifts, Lord, by claiming the authority and claiming that faith, Lord. And you show them the path, Lord. We pray that in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord, for opening their eyes and giving them that true faith and your healing power over Ala. I don't know her health conditions, Lord, but I know she has a few. And I pray that in Jesus' name that you bind up those spirits and cast them out of her, those infirmities, whatever she has, Lord. I command them to go from her. I pray that you show her your grace, Lord, and that she can see your healings in her life. And I thank you, Lord, for healing her and for giving them true faith. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Amen. Yes, we hook our faith up with Phil, and we thank you, Lord, for honoring his prayer and bringing this family into the full gospel. And knowing the power and authority that they have in Christ. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay. Anyone else? Hey, Pat. I didn't see you on here until just now. You been hiding? Okay. All right. Well, all right. Boy, we got some good stuff tonight. We got some good stuff in the God's vaccines. We got the best part of the whole chapter coming up. In my opinion, that we've already read. We're on page 88. Hey, Joe Brett.
Morning, Michael. Morning, everybody.
Hey, bud. There's David Nelson coming in, too. Maybe. Wait till he gets in here. We're down there where it says Psalm 91 and 5. Uh-oh, we'll have to come back in. Oh, there he is. Hey, David. Hey, Dave. We're just now starting the God's Vaccine on page 88. And Psalm 91 and 5. Do what, Dave?
I said, thank you.
Yeah, yeah. Psalm 91:5. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flies by day, for the pestilence that walks in darkness. The reason that God's people absorb these things is because they're fearful. You don't want to be fearful in a pandemic. I'm telling you, you don't want to be fearful. They don't believe in the promises of God. They're not standing on the promise of God. They're not confessing the promise of God. They're not praising the promise of God. In the very early 1900s, John G. Lake was a missionary to South Africa during an outbreak of the bubonic plague. And he never caught the disease. And he explained it. Fear absorbs every curse and faith repels it. Y'all need to underline that and highlight it. Fear absorbs every curse and faith repels it. He believed he had faith in the provision of God. Now, we're going to read the testimony of John G. Lake. Hang on. Now, watch the action of the law of life. Faith belongs to the law of life. Faith is the very opposite of fear. Faith has the opposite effect in spirit and soul and body. Faith causes the spirit of man to become confident. It causes the mind of man to become restful and positive. Hang on just a minute, folks. Faith causes the spirit of man to become confident. It causes the mind of man to become restful and positive. A positive mind repels disease. Consequently, the emanation of the spirit destroys disease germs. And because we were in contact with the spirit of life, I and a little Dutch fellow with me went out and buried many of the people who had died from the bubonic plague. We went into the homes, carried them out, dug the graves, and put them in it. Sometimes we would put three or four in one grave. We never took the disease. Why? Because of the knowledge. Let me get Barbara a minute. Because of the knowledge that the law of life in Christ Jesus protects us. That law was working because of the fact that a man by that action of his will puts himself purposely in contact with God. Faith takes possession of his heart and the condition of his nature is changed. And instead of being fearful, he's full of faith. Instead of being absorbent and drawing everything to himself, his spirit repels sickness and disease. The spirit of Christ Jesus flows through the whole being and emanates through the hands, the heart, and from every pore of the body. And during that great plague that I mentioned, they sent a government ship with supplies and a corps of doctors. One of the doctors sent for me and said, "What have you been using to protect yourself?" Our corps has this preventative and that which we use as protection. But we concluded that if a man could stay on the ground as you have and keep ministering to the sick and burying the dead, you must have a secret. What is it? Open door, right? Let me see here. Okay, Barbara can hear now. You must have a secret. What is it? He answered, "Brother, that is the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus. I believe that just as long as I keep my soul in contact with the living God so that his spirit is flowing into my soul and body, that no germ will ever attach itself to me, for the spirit of God will kill it." And he asked, "You think that you had better use, our preventatives?" I replied, "No, but doctor, I think that you would like to experiment with me. If you'll go over to one of these dead people, take the foam that comes out of their lungs after death, then put it under the microscope, you will see masses of living germs. You'll find that they are alive until a reasonable time after a man is dead. You can feel my hand with them, and I'll keep it under the microscope, and instead of these germs remaining alive, they will die instantly. They tried it and found it was true. They questioned, "What is that?" And I replied, "That is the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus. When a man's spirit and a man's body are filled with the blessed presence of God, it oozes out of the pores of your flesh and kills the germs. Now, suppose, on the other hand, my soul had been under the law of death and I were in fear and darkness, the very opposite would have been the result. The result would have been that my body would have absorbed the germs. These would have generated disease, and I would have died. You who are sick, put yourself in contact with God's law of life. Read his word with the view of enlightening your heart so that you will be able to look up with more confidence and believe him. Pray that the Spirit of God will come into your soul, take possession of your body, and his power will make you well. That is the exercise of the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Romans 8 and 2 says, "For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus made me free from the law of sin and death." In Luke 10 and 19, "Behold, I have given you authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall in any wise hurt you." Praise be to God forevermore. That's the life that God wants us to live. That the very being of Jesus comes out of our pores and stuff where no germ can pass through. Anybody got any comments on this? My Lord and my God, as much as that was there, woo, y'all ought to be raising his hands and talking about the glorious power of the Lord God Almighty in your body. Okay. I really like what he says about fear. David says, "Fear absorbs every curse and faith repels." That's what Lake was talking about. When you've got so much of God in you that the devil can't get in, that's the place to be. And there ain't but one way to do that, folks. That's to run after God with all your heart, your soul, your mind, your strength. Amen. Nobody got anything to say about that? All right, we'll move on then. Believe the truth and be set free. Chapter 4. We finally got to another chapter. Well, that last chapter was a good one, wasn't it? Anything in that last chapter y'all want to talk about or that you remember?
Michael?
Yes, Pat.
Can I ask you a question?
Yes.
As I was thinking about that, the thought came to me, because I had a couple thoughts, but the thought came to me, therefore let us also, seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising shame, and sat down at the right hand of God, the throne of God. the thing that struck me there, which is maybe kind of off the subject, but of looking at that cloud of witnesses, and I was thinking of in John G. Lake's life, was God not, was the healing message that we have today and the authority we have in Christ not accentuated in John G. Lake at that time, or was he not focused upon it? Because obviously God was providing him a miraculous testimony in trusting in this one aspect of Christ and that protective barrier and being in the secret place of the Most High, and that protection and that provision and salvation that is there. But yet it seemed as though in the midst of the plague, God was not revealing the avenue of healing, laying hands on the sick, and at least it wasn't accentuated in this particular story that I've read about John G. Lake. So it just kind of stuck in my mind that it's interesting that God takes different aspects of the word and highlights them through different parts of our history in order to bring that total witness to bear in these last days. So that was just kind of a thought that I was
process. Lake was led by the Holy Spirit. If the Holy Spirit said raise him from the dead, he would have raised him from the dead, but the Holy Spirit didn't tell him that. And I'll tell you, throughout his whole career, after he got baptized in the Holy, even before he was baptized in the Holy Spirit, when he first went up to Chicago, and what was that guy's name? Anybody remember what the guy's name was that healed him and his wife and his whole family? Got them healed? Dow. Oh gosh, Alexander Dow. Anyway, he was not filled. Alexander Dow was not filled with the Holy Ghost, but he had faith enough to believe that God would heal. And Lake was like that until he got in the Word and he started believing what he read. He studied the Bible religiously, and he went about almost a year crying out to the Lord to fill him up with His Holy Spirit. And people kept telling him, you're filled with the Holy Spirit, people getting healed and all that stuff. And he just didn't pay a bit of attention to it. But when he got filled, he knew he was filled. And multitudes got healed after that. You remember the story about him being in South Africa. And when he had to leave, take his children back home because his wife had died. There was a bunch of natives out there that wanted him to pray for him before he got on the boat. He just stuck his hand on a pole out there and said, in the name of Jesus, all who touch this post will be healed. Over 10,000 people got healed.
Wow.
From just that faith that he left there. And the faith they had in the Christ in John G. Lake. So, yeah, he was a powerful, powerful man of God. Powerful man of God. But yeah, he was led by the Holy Spirit during that. And if you remember that, you know what happened to the end of the bubonic plague? You remember that story? He had this same, I believe it was this same guy, might have been someone there, but I think it was him, was out there praying in the desert. He was out praying in the desert against that. And he'd been out there for, gosh, about a week. John went out there to see if he needed any water, needed anything. And he said, John, he said, how are you doing? he said, I'm almost there. If I could just get a little bit of help, won't you just stay with me to help me just for a little bit? And I think we got this thing. They said when he dropped down, said they went to praying in the spirit, and said finally the other guy jumped up and just went tearing out across in front of yelling and in the name of the Lord Jesus. And he looked out there, and there was a horde of demons out there in front of him. And when he went after them, they vanished. In other words, they beat the bubonic plague by praying against him. Mm. He had been praying out there in the desert for quite a while. But that was John G. Lake. He had, man, I'm telling you, awesome, awesome. If you can ever get that book by Robert Slearden about him, it says he's compiled all of his works, but it's not all of them. It's just a few of them. There's a lot more than what he's got compiled in there. Go ahead, Larry. Did you have your hand up?
Yeah, I did. I was trying to remember the man that took over his ministry. I went to a meeting of his, and I just can't remember his name. Do you remember what his name was?
Oh, yeah.
He had a very interesting testimony.
Yeah, you talking about Curry Blake?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
He had a very interesting testimony. You may recall he really basically did a lot just as Lake did as far as healing was concerned. But it was interesting. He said that he had a sin in his life. But he said God was still healing all these people, even with that in his life. And one day he asked the Lord, he said, he was convicted, obviously, or something. Lord, I know I have this sin. Why is it you're still healing? He says, and I forget his exact answer, but I remember it was something like, he was going to honor his word, but he said, I'm going to deal with your sin. And it just intrigued me to think that God would still use the man with the sin. But he said shortly thereafter, he said, well, after I talked to the Lord about that, he says, I got rid of that sin. But it was just kind of intriguing to me that, you know, he did all that healing and God used him, even though he had that issue. And I thought that was kind of interesting. I just didn't think about that would ever happen, I guess.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I knew Curry. I knew him quite well, as a matter of fact.
Yeah, okay. You probably knew what he did there.
Yeah, I remember talking about that. He's a little short guy.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Go ahead, Missy.
Well,
yeah, Larry, he's a good guy.
Well, Larry, what you said reminded me of this in Matthew 7. It says, Matthew 7:21, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy by thy name, and by thy name cast out demons, and by thy name do many mighty works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. That's Amen. What you were talking about there reminded me of that.
Yep.
Michael disappeared.
Yeah, I was getting this book. Are you talking about the one by Robert Slearden, Theo?
Yes, that's the one you just mentioned.
Yeah, it's Robert Slearden, LIARDON, Robert Slearden.
Is it God's General?
No, it's John G. Lake. The complete collection of his life teachings. He did one on God's generals. He did one on Mariah Woodworth Eder. He did one on Smith Wigglesworth. Maybe some few other ones. I don't remember, but that's a good book. Roberts, R-O-B-E-R-T-S. Yes, Sue. Larry, you gonna mute, or you want me to mute you?
You go ahead. I couldn't find myself how to mute it.
There should be a microphone icon down there at the lower left-hand corner.
Yeah, my microphone left me. That's what's my...
Okay, I'll do it. There you go. Well, I thought.
Okay.
Huh. Hang on just a minute, Sue.
Okay.
Let me get... Okay. You're muted. Yeah, it's showing now. All right, go ahead, Lou, Sue. Go ahead, Sue.
Okay, what came to me was when you're reading about standing on the promises of God, of course, that an old song came to me that's called Standing on the Promises of God. You might all know it. I don't know. It was written in 1886. I don't know completely the story about it, but anyway. Standing on the promises of Christ my King, through eternal ages let his praises ring. Glory in the highest I will shout and sing. Standing on the promises of God. Standing on the promises of God, my Savior, standing on the promises of God, standing on the promises that cannot fail when the howling storms of doubt and fear assail. By the living word of God, I shall prevail, standing on the promises of God. I'm going to sing another verse. Standing on the promises of Christ the Lord, bound to him eternally by love's strong cord, overcoming daily with the Spirit's sword, standing on the promises of God. Standing on the promises of God, my Savior, standing on the promises of God, standing on the promises I cannot fail, listening every moment to the Spirit's call, resting in my Savior as my all in all, standing on the promises of God. Amen.
Michael's frozen. Mm-hmm. You're frozen, Michael. With the grouchy look, too.
Hello. Wake up, Michael.
Hey, I'll play that on the piano while Michael's unable to do anything about it.
There you go.
Go ahead, Malcolm.
Okay, you started singing in the key of E and then went down to E flat. So I'll try it in F. How's that sound? One step up here. Hold on just a minute. I got to put the phone down. This is crazy. Okay, I'll put the phone on the piano.
Amen. Y'all don't know it, but he's got a grand piano down there in his basement.
Right. Not quite out of tune. But I found a program that I can use to tune it with.
Oh, really?
The laptop. Yeah, only $500 bucks. No, I can use the free version.
Yeah, awesome. Thank you, Michael. That's the first time you've done it in a long time. Since Christmas.
Oh, my.
All right. Anybody else got any questions or comments about Lake or the faith message? That's how you get to faith, to walking amongst bubonic plague or coronavirus or anything else. And that's to get the word of God in you to the point to where nothing else comes out but him. Or just have faith. And you get that faith by getting in the word. You know, something interesting, I'll tell y'all something interesting. I was watching David. I came downstairs this afternoon, or this morning, and he was sitting there listening. I said, "What are you listening to?" He's got a little Go Bible. He's listening to the Word on the Go Bible. Somebody gave him a Go Bible, and he's listening to that when he's not reading it. So, yeah. Anyway. That's what you do. You get the Word of God in you. And I've got it on my phone, Bible.is, that I listen to. And when I'm out walking, I listen to that when I ain't talking to somebody. But thank you, Jesus. Yeah, it's a good way to get the Word in you. All right, chapter 4. When you get the Word of God in you, fear leaves. Fear leaves. You're not anxious about anything. You don't have anxiety, fears. You don't have, you're just in the rest. You're in the rest of God because you know God's in control. God has control of all the circumstances around you. That's a great place to be, is to know that God's already taken care of you. And you ain't got to do nothing but just sit back and watch him do it. Chapter 4, believe the truth and be set free. Glory to God. I'm going to read the prayer too. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for being our God. Thank you that you have chosen us and are drawing us to yourself to reveal your Son in us. Thank you, Lord, that you are our protection, our Passover, our Psalm 91 secret place. Teach us to abide in you, Lord, through faith in your word. Through repentance, through turning away from the world. Thank you so much, Father, that you're teaching us how to think, how to speak, how to be justified in our words in the coming time of judgment, as the Apostle Paul said, so that we might prevail. We thank you, Father, that you vaccinate your saints against the plagues that are coming upon this world. You said that neither shall any plague come nigh thy tent, and so we thank you for your vaccination, Lord. We don't trust the world's vaccination, but we trust in you, Father. Thank you so much. Amen. Well, talking about vaccinations, a lot of people have been killed by vaccinations and have been, their whole lives been interrupted by vaccination, the effects of it. Now, when you get immunized by Jesus, there is no after effects but good stuff. There ain't nothing but good comes out of that when you believe God. Well, what about this or what about that? Well, what about God? What about God? You know, the world relies on doctors. God's people rely on him. You have to have a trust in him that he's going to do what his word says when all of these things come up around you. Thank you, Jesus. All right, let's go on here. We've been studying Psalms 91, and I'd like to back up to where the Lord says that, Psalm 91 and 4. He will cover thee with his pinions, and under his wings shalt thou take refuge. His truth is a shield and a buckler. And we pointed out from this text that being hidden under God's wings means you're hidden, you're being hidden under his truth, and also it's by his truth that we overcome the world. John 8:31 says, Jesus therefore said to those Jews that had believed him, if you abide in my word, then are you truly my disciples, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. The truth, the wings, set you free from the law of gravity, from being bound to the world, and God's truth is what causes us to be able to walk in the Spirit and overcome the world. Truth, according to this verse, is necessary for God's protection. It's His shield. It's His buckler. Now, I want to go back and read something again. The truth, the wings, set you free from the law of gravity, from being bound to the world. I'm going to stop there. Does anybody know what he's talking about? Well, I'll tell you. Yeah, Missy, go ahead.
Well, we're supposed to dwell in heavenly places, right? And if we're flying like an eagle, we're in heavenly places. Where if we're under the wings of the Lord, the truth, the wings set you free from the law of gravity, from being bound to the world, being bound to what the things that you see, the things in the physical realm. The truth of God's word causes you to dwell in heavenly places, because God's word is spirit. And if you're dwelling in, if you're in the spirit, you're dwelling in heavenly places. If you're being led by the spirit, you're dwelling in heavenly places. If you're not walking by what you see, feel, hear by your senses, and you're walking by the spirit, you're dwelling in heavenly places.
Amen. And also, you're not bound to this world.
Right.
By gravity, but even in the physical. Remember all the translations that's taken place over the years. You're not bound by the world's laws, only God's law. Go ahead, Pat.
I was thinking of that verse that John G. Lake told us about, and that was that the spirit of life in Christ Jesus, the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus, hath made us free from the law of sin and death. And the thing is that comes to mind is the fact, is kind of the example of flying or flight. And that is the law of aerodynamics being observed, cooperated with, and applied to a situation, to an airplane or a powered flight, is utilizing the law of aerodynamics. And that law of aerodynamics takes effect when you cooperate with it, allow and utilize it. And it takes effect. It's not that we have to do anything to take effect other than just cooperate and apply it. And that law in it of itself overcomes that law of gravity. And I think the thing that I'm reminded of in that is that it doesn't destroy the law of gravity. The law of gravity is still in effect. And should you desire or fail to observe or cooperate or utilize or apply all of those laws of aerodynamics, the law of gravity is going to take effect real quick. But it's resting in the law. So I think of the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made us free from the law of sin and death. And that law is only applied when we believe it. It's an interesting thing about like God's word is that it's pretty useless if you don't believe it. But just like the law of gravity, you may not believe it, but if you don't watch it, it will jump up and bite you, you know? So you have to, but it's just the fact that it's one law overcomes the other law. So that was all I had to say.
Well, that's exactly right. Just remember what it said, for the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus. And we talked about that the other day, is that you get that by abiding in Christ. And how do you abide in Christ? You get in the Word of God. He says this, the Word of God is Christ, right? Jesus is the Word. And so there you go. Anybody else? Okay. The story of Hosea has a lot to say about truth. The name Hosea means salvation. It comes from a root word that means deliverer. So we can see who he represents there, and in a type and a shadow for history, God had Hosea marry Gomer, a harlot. Gomer's name actually means completion or to finish. The neat thing about it is Gomer represents just exactly that, the complete harlot family of God from the beginning to this day. The scripture teaches that there is a body called the harlot. But when the Savior was married to this harlot, she brought forth three children. Now, I'd like to talk to you about the last two, the daughter called Lo Ruhamah, which means that hath not obtained mercy, and a son called Lo Ami, which means not my people. God likened Lo Ruhamah to the house of Israel, Hosea 1:6. And then after Lo Ruhamah was weaned, they had Lo Ami. These are pretty negative names for anybody to be naming their children, but they represented a body of people that God wanted to save. So God encouraged them to speak to one another, leaving off the word Lo, which is the Hebrew for not. Anybody got anything you want to say about that? Okay. Hosea 2:1. Say ye unto your brethren, Ami, it's no longer Lo Ami, not my people, but my people. And to your sister, Ruhamah, no longer Lo Ruhamah, that hath not obtained mercy, but that hath obtained mercy. And here, according to his word, they were beginning to confess faith for one another here. And I believe quite firmly that these two represented Israel and the Gentile church. And we're going to see that it bears out in Scripture. One thing God says to these two children is that their mother, Gomer, the harlot, is not his wife. Verse 2 in Hosea 2. Contend with your mother, contend, for she is not my wife, neither am I her husband. And let her put away her whoredom from her face and her adultery from between her breasts, lest I strip her naked and set her as in the day that she was born, and make her as a wilderness, and set her like a dry land, and slay her with thirst. Yea, and upon her children will I have no mercy, for they are children of whoredom, for their mother had played the harlot. Think about it, folks. Israel and the church both have brought forth a child of whoredom. Both have gone astray from God, and both have been taken captive to the harlot of Babylon. Amen. As we can see that real evident nowadays. Does anybody want to comment on that? Okay. Hosea 2:14. Therefore, behold, I will allure her and bring her into the wilderness and speak comfortably unto her. And I will give her her vineyards from thence in the valley of Achor. And that means troubling. For a door of hope, and she will make answer there as in the days of her youth. She's going to turn back to the Lord. He's going to bring her through troubling, and he's going to turn her back to the Lord in the wilderness. Obviously, that doesn't mean everyone, but it does represent a remnant, which the Lord calls Ruhamah and Ami, that will turn back to the Lord. And toward the end of this chapter, he speaks to them again in Hosea 2:23. And I will sow her unto me in the earth, and I will have mercy upon her that had not obtained mercy. That's Lo Ruhamah. Not is the Lo. And I will say to them that were not my people. That's Lo Ami. Thou art my people. And they shall say, thou art my God. The Lord is saying that he's going to save a people out of both of these groups, Israel and the church. Amen. Anybody want any comments? Make any comments or statements? Y'all bored? Yeah, Theodore.
When I was talking to my cousin last night, and I asked him who can have the gift of prophecy, and he said, "Well, God's not going to give swine his gifts, right?" And so I asked him, I said, "Well, how many people are in your church?" And there's thousands. And I was like, "Are they considered swine then?" He said, "No, they're just afraid. They don't want the gift of prophecy, you know." So I'm trying to understand that right now, how a group of people that are supposedly Christian are afraid of having prophecy, you know.
What does the pastor preach? Does he preach against it, or
no? They're basically, I guess you could say, Pentecostal. Yeah. Church. It's a very large Slavic church in California. Very large. Multiple pastors, but
he doesn't teach on prophecy.
There are people that prophesy, but I'm talking about the main group of people that go there, and So I'm saying that they don't teach that everybody should prophesy, is what I'm saying. And those that think that it's those that, you know, don't want it are afraid, because, you know, that's kind of what we're brought up, that if you have the ability to prophesy, your responsibility is greater. So it's fear. And this is, and then in this book, we're seeing that not all of the church will be saved. And I think
No,
that's one of the reasons right there.
Yeah.
But why they would be afraid, you know, is that it might be a doctrine, it might be a teaching, you know, that causes fear for not everybody to prophesy.
Or lack of.
It's just the liar has penetrated the church, you know. Yeah.
The Nicolaitan error.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So. Everybody's afraid. Everybody thinks the pastor's it.
I think that a lot of times people, when they first get a word from the Lord, that's been my experience. When they first get a word from the Lord, they're not sure in their understanding that it is from the Lord, and they're scared that if they say something, that it's going to be not of the Lord or out of them, you know. That's what I found in the past. So it's always incumbent upon the pastor to teach, or the teacher to teach about the gifts of the Spirit and the, you know, prophecy. And he says to go after the greatest ones, you know, and why they don't. I think there is a scared mentality. Go ahead, Malcolm.
I don't have my call waiting turned off, so somebody may interrupt. I was just going to say that, as we all know, that two things in the New Testament It says when, in Acts, when people are baptized in the Holy Spirit, they speak in tongues and prophesy, or speak in tongues or prophesy. But prophesying is one of those things. My understanding is that anybody baptized in the Holy Spirit can prophesy, sometimes some more than others, but it's one of those things that should be universal. Maybe you can help me understand that, Michael, if I'm wrong.
I understand what, Michael?
Is that correct? I think that's what...
Well, the Lord told us, I forget where it is, but he told us to seek after the gifts and to go after the greater gifts, you know. How many of you know who for goodness sake, what's the little guy from Kentucky's name that had the that was a preacher back in the '50s and sixties. Got killed in 1965 in a car wreck. Oh, you know who I'm talking about, for goodness sake. Can't hear you, Joe.
No, he was a prophet. I'm thinking of William Branham because I heard he died in a car accident.
Yeah, that was William Branham.
But I was like, no, he was a prophet. He wasn't a preacher, I guess, you know, if you'd say that. So I have no idea.
Yeah, that was William Branham. William Branham, they never did. He never had a bad word of knowledge from what they can tell. All of his words of knowledge or prophecies was true. And that's what happens when you follow the Holy Spirit, you follow the Spirit of God that's in you and listen to it. I know that all of us, some of us have had prophecies before. Some of you know things that the Lord had to have told you, you know. Or you've had verses come up in your mind when somebody was asking you something about something and that helped you give them an answer. That's a form of prophecy. So it has to be used. It needs to be used. And sure, God gave us those to help the body. And if you don't have it in your church, like this 1,000-member church out there, they're not a complete church. Go ahead, Leah. Go ahead, Leon.
Okay. We were talking one time about a couple of different guys in faction that were going to die. And I made the statement that they were going to die together. And I explained it would probably be in a car accident, you know, and I didn't think anything about it, but at a later date, sometime later, David said that was a prophecy, you know, he called that a prophecy, and I didn't even think about it in those terms, it's just a feeling I had, you know, so I said what I felt, and but he called it a prophecy. So.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah. Amen.
Go ahead. You can be what I'm getting at is you can be not thinking in terms of prophetic, you know, just talking about how you feel about a certain thing or something like that. But it could be a prophecy. So.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead, Julie.
Well, something that was coming to my mind when Fio was talking about, you know, the fear that this church has is fear of making a mistake and that kind of thing, or like being accountable and that, and that we can all prophesy. and it's really based on the maturity of a person, what they know, because we, you know, it's like you prophesy in part when you know in part. And as you grow and mature in your knowledge and understanding of the truth, your prophecies are more accurate. And also there's things that can hinder that prophesying, whatever form that gift comes in, is if there's any kind of idol there or any kind of a false doctrine, or you know, if you have a favorite doctrine you're not willing to give up, or something and you're not willing to let go of, or something that can hinder the accuracy of people's prophecies. So pray that people would get a love for the truth and desire the truth, and, you know, grow up in the grace and knowledge of God, and just keep praying against the false doctrine, the false teachers, the false prophets that are out there, that they'd be exposed. But, you know, you can't judge the person. We have to look at the prophecy and take what is true and what is right and hold on to that which is good and leave the rest until God, you know, brings everything into light. That's all I wanted to share on that.
Okay, Lana.
Does David have a teaching on prophecy, a recording that I could listen to?
Yeah, he's got one on there's one on the site called The Holy Spirit in Us and Through Us by Rex. What's his last name? Rex.
Vron.
Huh?
Rex Vron.
Yeah, Rex Vron.
He's one of the former elders here.
Yeah, Rex Vron. And he goes through the gifts also. It's a real good teaching.
Okay. I also have a question on top of that. At one point, many years ago, when I was speaking in tongues during a church meeting, I thought that I had a word from the Lord, and I just followed the words that were put in my mind. But it was basically an introductory phrase followed by more speaking in tongues. And so when I asked the pastor of the church that I was with at the time about it, he said that it's probably not the gift of prophecy, but simply a temptation from the devil, as if I was being deceived. Is that possible?
Not if your heart's right.
Right.
If your heart's right and you knew you were right with the Lord, he was wrong. He was blaspheming the Holy Spirit is what he was doing.
Because I was saying this to Theo last night too. I can see how God would tempt us, if you will, through other circumstances, but I just don't see any logical or spiritual reason to be tempted or tested in a gift. It's either there or it's not. Would that be correct?
The thing about the gifts of prophecy is knowing the Word of God. Okay, if you know the Word of God, you can spiritually discern whether it's a good prophecy. A lot of times, y'all, people get their doctrines into their prophecy, and it just messes up the whole prophecy. Instead of giving what the Lord had told them to say, they want to add a little bit here and add a little bit there, and it just destroys the prophecy.
Yeah, I've definitely seen a lot of that in the last five, probably even go far as back, the last 5-10 years in the churches that I've been in, and these are all Slavic churches, and kind of piggybacking off of what Theo was talking about, I believe that because we had so many doomsday prophecies, and they're quite popular within our churches, I wouldn't blame anybody for not wanting to prophesy, because that's all you hear. It's either doomsday prophecies or prophecies don't make sense, because I think we have a lot of false prophets going around too.
Yeah.
Dave wanted to say something, I think, based on related to what I was saying earlier. Go ahead, Dave. I'm listening.
Yeah, you know,
when it comes to prophecy, that's just the Lord giving you inspiration to talk about something. He puts it in your heart or your mind, you know. So you all, when it comes on me, it's like an overwhelming feeling. Like this, he's exposed something to you, showed you something, and it's in your heart, and you're gonna say what he has. Do you want you to share? You know. And that's the Lord coming, working through you with his Holy Spirit. And he's going to do that with a lot of people, not just one. Because that way he doesn't want to lift everybody up and make them get, you know, like feeling like they're something more than they should be. But he will work through the body like that. He does work through the body like that and give everybody things to say. If you listen and paying attention, you'll say, oh, I can tell that came from the Lord when somebody said something. Or maybe even when David was talking the other day on communion, he was sharing some things. And then there were some things I was thinking about. And he started talking about it. Well, that came from the Lord. You know, that stuff just comes right in a timely manner. That's the Lord working through people. That's how he does that. But there's a difference between people working in the gifts of prophecy and a prophet. There's a difference. The office of a prophet is unique. That is not that's, he will be doing prophecy, but that's going to be more of a pronounced gift that he has that comes out much more often, and it's the Lord speaking through him, definitely.
So
that office is specific. It's going to be a man. It's not going to be a woman. He works the gifts, those offices through men. Like evangelism, you can evangelize, but there an evangelist will be a man. You will have the gift of evangelism. We're all given that task to speak the word and talk to people about God and the salvation and witness. We're all allowed to witness, but evangelists, pastors, teachers, prophets, and evangelists, that fivefold ministry are all men. There aren't going to be any women involved in that. Now, women may have some of these gifts that these fivefold ministries have, but they aren't going to have that office. There's a difference.
Well, okay. Let me clarify what he's talking about. He's true, and I just want to go a little bit deeper in what he's saying. The office of the prophet, of course, all the fivefold ministry are men. The gifts of the Holy Spirit are available to whoever the Holy Spirit wills it to go, okay? And that's for the edification of the church. I just wanted to throw that in there.
Absolutely, that's true. That's how it works.
So that's actually new to me. It could either be because of the doctrine that was being taught in the churches that I attended, or because I misunderstood. I was under the impression from the churches I used to attend, and they were all Pentecostal Slavic churches. The gift of tongues was a huge deal in our churches, and we were encouraged to pray in tongues all the time, anytime, every time, whether or not it edifies anybody or not. It was just this, as now I understand, it was this high that everybody was always looking for. And
wait a minute, hang on. You understand there's two different kinds of tongues, don't you? There's the gift of tongues, which coincides with the interpretation of tongues. Both of them together is prophecy.
Yes,
but
yes.
The heavenly language that God gives you is for your edification, not the church.
Yes. So, so everybody would pray in tongues without interpretation, and we would just, you know, the church would normally have this huge, a lot of times, prayer, and everybody would kind of be like, oh, that was a great service, because everybody, the Spirit was there, and everybody prayed in tongues, like very high emotions and whatnot. But there was also, involved at these times were prophets. Knowing what you've told me now, a lot of times it involved women with the gift of prophecy, and a lot of times these these prophetic revelations that they would speak to the church, especially during times of prayer. They would just, you know, start speaking loudly. Everybody would quiet down and listen to what they had to say. They were direct messages to people in the congregation. They weren't necessarily Bible passages or revelations based on the Word of God. They were actually like speaking directly to somebody because of some issue in their life, and it would always be vague. They wouldn't necessarily name the particular issue. And so now knowing what I know, I question how real that actually was. Now, in terms of men who prophesied, since they are allowed to hold the office of a prophet, that makes sense. But we had a lot of mishmash going on, if you will, because in our Slavic Pentecostal churches, speaking in tongues during prayer without interpretation was always encouraged, and it meant that the Spirit was with us, and hey, let's bring it on even harder was kind of the thing. And so now I'm trying to discern what was real, what's right, and how to go about it.
Amen. One thing you might want to go on site and see is David has a teaching, wonderful teaching, Word, Women, and Authority.
Okay.
And what it tells you is that women can get words from the Lord. They cannot counsel men. They cannot teach. They can't be in those offices that Dave talked about, the fivefold ministry. They can't be a pastor. They can't do any of that stuff. What their job is, then the Word is specific. And you look at that teaching, and it'll set you free, girl. It'll set you free. It's a good teaching. Did you have something, Dave, that you want to add?
I just was putting up a fivefold.
Oh, so. Okay. Yeah, Joe, go ahead.
Yeah, I had a question for you, Dave, what you said there, because, I mean, I'm still learning about prophecy, and I, you know, coming from a non-Pentecostal background, you know, for those who know, and I mean, for the new folks who are not sure, you said, Dave, with the prophecy, I guess you're saying that's one manifestation if you feel led to talk about something. Is that what you said?
Well, you know, you'll get an overwhelming sensation and have a inspired, prophecy is inspired speaking.
Okay, yeah.
You can look at it that way,
yeah.
And the Holy Spirit kind of comes upon you, and you just, you know, it's kind of like he'll speak through you on things, and you may not even realize when you're saying something at the time that it's the Holy Spirit speaking through you for some other people's edification. That's
okay.
The thing about how the Holy Spirit can work. He can work through you, and it's pretty seamless. Or he can come on top, come on you like he does me sometimes. And it's like, whoa, it's like, and I'm getting this really understanding about things that are just kind of coming on me pretty hard, heavy. And it's like, I'll share it, but I don't necessarily always share everything, but I'll share it when something seems like the right time to share it. And it's very poignant, and it covers what maybe even what UVM might be covering in the next day or two on some of their teachings, like David or Michael, they'll cover it too. So it's like, that's how Holy Spirit does. He works through the body like that. He starts bringing things out, and people will start, you'll be emphasizing the same topics a little bit more to bring people to get their ears tuned in, because they may not hear the verse then, but if they hear somebody else say it again, now it's starting to take hold. So the Lord's good about that. Like, that's one of the things about David's teachings. When he teaches, sometimes he'll repeat things. Yep. You know, he'll go over it again. And he's made comment that people are going through and transcribing his stuff, and they'll say, well, he'll say, well, you don't have to put that in twice, because he says, well, that's what you said, but it comes through better. You know, if somebody repeats sometimes, or sometimes comes back around. And that's what the Lord does in the body too. He may work with many people
or more than one person to emphasize something, because he's trying to bring the point back. He's trying to reemphasize. He's trying to get people's minds to hear and ears to hear. You know, that's how the Lord will work with the body also. So that's how prophecy can work. He'll inspire somebody to say something, and then you'll hear it again within a short period of time from somebody else, or something similar, or more in detail from somebody. Like, you know, if David's going to teach you, it's going to be very thorough. Or Michael, the goal of it, you know, in detail when they're teaching. So that's how the Holy Spirit works in the body. You know,
that's not exactly telling the future, but it's more than that. I always figured prophecy was telling the future, but it sounds like there's some more to than just that.
It's inspired speaking.
Okay.
It'll be something the Lord, it's just like the Lord inspired the writers of the Holy Bible to write everything they wrote in the chapters.
Yep.
That's the Holy Spirit coming on people to do his will, and he accomplishes it.
Exactly. Know? Okay. Makes sense.
Can I give you a little more understanding how that works? It doesn't always have to be about future. It can be whatever the Lord wants to bring into the body.
Okay. So that's part of prophecy. Okay.
It's the New Testament prophet is not anywhere near like the Old Testament prophet. It's an entirely different covenant. And the Lord says, let the prophet prophesy with two confirmations. It has to be some confirmation, either from the word or somebody. Okay, it's not that this guy is 100% right on target and he's going to forecast whatever. Most of the time it's for the edification of the church. 99.9% of the time it's going to be for the edification of the church is what I found out. I don't know who was ahead, Stephen or Julie, any, many, many, mo. Go ahead, Julie. Sorry, Steve, I'll get right back at you, bud.
Lana, what you're speaking about in the church that you were going to, and it sounds like there was a lot of people that were, they were just speaking in tongues, and there was nobody was edified, nobody was built up, there was no follow-up with the prophecy, which is the interpretation of tongues. And the scripture that is coming to my mind is 1 Corinthians 14. That's a lot about the church order, and is in the 14th chapter there. But in 1 Corinthians 14 and 39, wherefore, my brethren, desire earnestly to prophesy, and forbid not the speaking of tongues with tongues, but let all things be done decently and in order. And it sounds like there was disorder in how maybe they were operating in the body there is who was doing what. And but chapter 14 says a lot about the order of the church and how things are supposed to be handled when you have a large group of people together like that. That's all I wanted to share, is just kind of directing you there.
Yeah, I definitely appreciate that. I grew up in this my entire life, and I knew no different, and now it's just starting to dawn on me that all is not as it seems or as it should be, and I praise God I'm not in that, and I don't have as many questions as I used to.
Amen. All right, Stephen, go ahead, brother.
Well, I think it didn't matter if you picked Julie first or me, because I was going to 1 Corinthians 14 as well to say exactly what Julie just said. But I also wanted to add 1 Corinthians 12. 1 Corinthians 12 and 14 both talk about the gifts. And 1 Corinthians 12 talks about how the gifts are given as the Spirit chooses. And so not everybody would necessarily have a particular gift, but the Spirit of God decides who to give that to. Also, another comment with the word women in authority. I believe women do have the right to teach other women and children, but not men. So older women teach younger women, or more mature women would teach less mature women, or they would teach children. So I think that's probably covered in women, word, and authority as well. And the I have one more thing, but I lost track of what. Oh, yeah, the types of tongues. Yeah, like Michael said, there's definitely two different kinds: personal edification and the tongues for with coupled with interpretation gives you prophecy. But there's I've actually seen a third kind of tongues listed as well, and that's in Acts chapter 2, when God gave the gift of tongues that's illustrated there is when people heard what was spoken in their own language. So one person speaking, but people are hearing it in their own language. So the French people are hearing it in French, the Italians are hearing Italian, and the Spanish are hearing Spanish. But one person is speaking, and he's speaking in English, or something like that. Or maybe they're dialects, I don't know. But they seem to all hear it in their own language. So that was a miracle that God did, and probably does as well today. Like when David went to, was translated over to maybe the Eastern Bloc somewhere, and he gave a message in tongues. The people there understood what he was saying. It was in a language that they understood. At least that's what I think happened in that incident. So he was speaking in a language, but maybe he didn't speak, you know, Bolshevik, but they spoke Bolshevik or whatever it was, and they understood him. So, well, that's all my comments.
Go ahead, Pat.
I was just thinking about the differences between the Old Testament and New Testament prophets. The one thought that came to me was that you kind of have to look at the overall as to what God was doing at the time, and generally speaking, he was writing the word of God, recording the word of God, and making sure that that word was down, it was accurate, and what went down was exactly what he was wanting put down. Not only were they filled, led, guided by the Spirit to speak these things as God commanded, but that there was also recording this, what that we have today, and for the purpose of the new covenant believers, in that we don't function off of writing the word, we function off of depending upon the word and allowing and it to become part of us and flow out of us according to the Spirit. And just as David always says, don't be changing, adding, or taking away from everything. And that becomes our major responsibility of just adhering to that word and allowing it to flow out of us as the Spirit gives motivation. The other thing I was thinking about is that it's not only specifically for one person, but God created this, his word, had it written down, recorded for the body and for the edification of the body. And as I was thinking about that old, I guess, fable, maybe a fable or fairy tale or something like that, about the five blind men that were led, put around an elephant and given and told to describe an elephant. And each one went around and one said, well, the elephant feels like a smooshy snake-like thing, because he was at the trunk. Another one said, well, this one feels like a big leaf on a tree, because he was touching the ear. Another one said, well, this is like a hairy wall. This elephant looks like a big wall. He was at the side of the elephant. Another one said, well, this feels like a whip. He looks like an elephant looks like a whip. And another one said, well, this an elephant evidently looks like a tree because I can wrap my arms around this elephant. So each one of those blind men had a different perspective, and each one had a true perspective, but it was a limited perspective of God, of the elephant, I'm sorry. Just as God has given each one of us an awareness of Him, and we are free to express that limited awareness in the body, and we also should be humble enough to realize and understand that we only have a limited amount, a limited perspective, and the majority of the perspective is out there in you guys. And as we can humble ourselves to not only God's word, but humble ourselves to God's body and listen to those perspectives and allow the Spirit of God to work through us and widen ours and mature our perspective. So that was kind of the...
Well, you hit over something there. I used to listen to Milton Green a lot, and I always liked what he said. He said, you got a part, I got a part, we all got a part in this thing. It takes all parts of the body to make a whole, right? I don't have everything. Pat don't have everything. Judy don't have everything. Leon ain't got everything. But all of us together can, you know, cohesively talk about the Lord. We all got a part that we know about. And that's why we're called the body. We're all different parts of the body. And it takes every part, the least of the body, is integral to the body of Christ. Yeah, Missy.
Praise the Lord.
What you just said there, wouldn't you say that that is the definition of, or the meaning of what it says there in Ephesians? Oh, I think it might be 1:23. It says the body, which is the, it says about the, but it's talking about the body, the fullness of the one who fills all in all.
Yeah. It takes everybody to, you know, David will tell you right off the get-go, he don't know everything there is to know about what there is to know about.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah, Denny.
And also in 1 Corinthians 12, when it lists those inspirational gifts where you're inspired by the Holy Spirit, it lists a word of wisdom, a word of knowledge, and then later on, a few verses later, and prophecy. So there's a word of wisdom, there's a word of knowledge. A word of knowledge may not necessarily be a prophecy or a word of wisdom. So there's actually three gifts that are in that, and then plus the tongue and interpretation. So there's sometimes we get, you know, a word of wisdom or a word of knowledge where God just gives you, you know, the ability to know something. And if you were to speak it forth, it, you know, it'll be a blessing to whoever it's meant for to receive.
That's what Branham was noted for, was the word of knowledge.
Word of knowledge.
He could tell somebody, you know, have I ever met you? No, I've never met you. You know, they said, no, I never seen you. You know, I never knew you. And then he said, well, have we ever talked before? No, I've never talked before now. And he'd go on and tell them something about their life so they'd listen to him. The Lord would tell him something about him. You know, well, back 2 years ago, you were diagnosed with cancer in your left leg, and they can't do anything about it. Now you want to come up here for no, he'd tell them, he said, and that, is that right? And they say, yeah, that's right. They'd be screaming and hollering, yeah, that's God, you know, he said, well, be healed in the name of Jesus. And they'd be healed because they knew it was God, because nobody else knew it but them. This guy was phenomenal. But anyway, go ahead, Sue.
I have another song if you want me to share it.
Yeah, for short one, go ahead. That'd be fine.
And this relates to the wings.
Okay.
Under your wings I go, because you love me so. Under your wings, dear Lord, under your wings. Under your wings I'm safe, under your wings, your grace. Under your wings, As I abide in you, in the shadow of you, you will encompass me under your wings. I shall not be afraid if evil should come my way, as I stay close to you under your wings. Just as the eagle flies, you keep me up on high, away from the storms that try to come against me. You will renew my strength as I wait on, as I wait upon you. I shall walk and run and not be faint. Under your wings I go, because you love me so. Under your wings, dear Lord, under your wings. Under your wings I'm safe, under your wings, your grace. Under your wings, under your wings, under your wings. Under your wings, under your wings, under your wings. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Sue. That was a good one. Mm-hmm. They're all good. Don't get me wrong. They're all good. Thank you, Lord. Okay, well, we're about out of time here. Anybody got anything we need to pray for before we get out of here? Y'all mark your place there now. It's been a good one after y'all finally got started.
let's ask the Lord to give us more gifts.
Okay, go ahead. We'll pray with you.
Lord, we talked a little bit about the fivefold ministry. We talked a little bit about, what was that, 1 Corinthians chapter 12 with the gifts. Lord, we would like to have more gifts in this body. We like to have more of your presence, more of your ability to serve each other and do it through the anointing of the Holy Spirit. So, Lord, we ask for these gifts to come upon us and renew us, to strengthen us as a body so we can hear more from you, more accurately from you, and get closer to you and become more like the image of Jesus. So we pray, Lord, that you anoint us with these gifts tonight and continue to build up your fellowship in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen. Here's a word for you from the Lord. I'll give you all that you can stand.
Do we have to stand up?
Okay, now. All right. Anybody else? Yeah, Julie.
I'll just add on to that prayer, Dave. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word and your promises. And as we all come together in agreement, Lord, I pray that you would enlighten our understanding, that you would give us more understanding of your word, what the gifts are, who you are, and how we operate in the body, where we're supposed to be. Give us light of your word. Give us a hunger and thirst for righteousness. Keep us abiding in you. Don't let us become distracted by things of this world. Don't let us get distracted by what's all going on in the media. And help us, Lord, to rely upon your strength and not our own. And Lord, you said if we ask you for wisdom, you'll give us wisdom. And so we're asking you for wisdom of your word and your truth. Give us understanding, give us knowledge. And fill us up with your Holy Spirit, Lord, and that we may be who you called us to be. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Anybody else? There is a link in there that Pat put in there, Lana, for, what is it? Prophecies, dreams, visions, important scripture, importance.
Yeah. Yep, we found it. We found all of those.
Oh,
yep.
Okay. Okay, good deal.
Yep, thank you.
All right. Well, all right. Well, Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for this night. We thank you, Lord, that when we come together Thursday night, that we'll all bone up on the gifts of the Spirit and the fivefold ministry, and that we'll talk about that Thursday night, Lord, and we thank you for it in Jesus' name. We'll just do a little side note here on the gifts and the fivefold ministry. And we thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. All right, folks. Let me get everybody unmuted here. Y'all be blessed.
You too.
Good night. God bless.
All right, good night, everybody.
Bless you all, Michael Stoff.
God bless Denny and Debbie. Have a good night.
Yeah, everybody.
God bless.
Night, Steve.
God bless,
Julie.
God bless, Jeff.
Steve, Malcolm and Megan. Her. Good night, Barry. And
Bob.
Good to see you. Good to see you. See you Thursday.
Good night.
Good night.
Did Jeff already bomb? I was going to say, it never rains in Southern California. Well, that's how it goes. We need rain here, and we're getting it. So thank you, Lord.
God bless.
Love you. I'll see you Thursday.
Good night, everyone.
Good night. Love you.
God bless.
Good night.
See you Thursday, Lord willing. God bless.
Good night, Larry and Connie. Y'all be blessed.
God bless, Larry.
Good night, Joe.
Good night.
Good night, Jeanette. Malcolm.
Good night.
Good night.